Thank you for being here. I thank you for Deacon Joe and his many years of service, and we pray a special blessing upon him, health from head to toe, Lord, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Pray you touch him, bless him, and continue to give him victory over these attacks on the mortal body, Lord. Speaking of the mortal body, and continue to give him years of faithful service, we pray, and as a blessing to us and to him. Lord God, we thank you for that. Good to see Chris here today. We pray for him and his family, his mother, and the other requests that he shared with me. Lord, bless them today and bless us all that we could not be distracted, but get into your word and get what you want. We know you have a purpose for it, Lord, so help us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, Sarge, I'm going to put you to work again. Can you look at my mailbox, see if there's the lesson, the Sunday school lesson, lesson 6? Hand them out. I think it's 2 pages for each person. And then you can take notes on the lesson today. And we're a little bit discombobulated with everything going on with the supper, but you are invited right afterward to our chili bowl, and we're going to have that. Amen? All right. I got my Bible here. I want to encourage you, bring your King James Bible. And keep your notes and get a notebook. This thing is falling apart, but I have a Sunday school notebook, and I put holes in them, and I put them in my notebook. And we encourage you to do that. All right, we're going to look at the book of Revelation. And in Revelation 1:10, John was transported ahead in a spiritual time machine. And he was transported ahead. Tell me, somebody, raise your hand to what period of time in the Bible? Yes.
The day of the Lord.
Yeah, he was transported ahead to the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. That's not Sunday. That's a future day of the Lord. Now, that day of the Lord that is coming within the 70th week, sometime in the second half of the 7 years that are coming, that day that's coming is a day primarily of what? What is it, the day of the Lord? Primarily of what? How would you describe it in simplicity? What is that day? It's called the day of the Lord. It's not one day, it's a period of time. But what is it? Raise your hand if you know. Yeah, Charity?
The Great Tribulation.
Charity says it's the Great Tribulation. Actually, no, it's after the Great Tribulation, which is the persecution of Satan of God's people that don't take the mark of the one world government beast. The day of the Lord, it does cause tribulation upon the world, but what is it primarily? Yes, ma'am.
Is it the 70th days of Daniel?
It's part of that, but what is the characteristic of it? Karen. Well, it's preparing for it. It's preparing for it, but you still haven't hit the bullseye. The day of the Lord is what, Andy?
Jacob's trouble, and also.
Well, Jacob's trouble is Jacob's trouble starts in the Great Tribulation. But what is it?
God's wrath poured out on the earth.
Yes. It is a time of darkness, not of light. It's not a time of salvation. Right now it says, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What is God doing today? He's not pouring out his wrath. He's pouring out his gospel. He's withholding his wrath. He's getting pretty mad. He's getting pretty angry. It's building. It's building. It's like a pot that's boiling. It's ready to come. We've never seen a day of the Lord in 6,000 years. The nearest thing we've seen to it happened about 1,500 years after creation. That's the nearest thing. It's used as a picture of it. What was it?
The flood.
It was a universal flood where God let the subterranean waters come up through earthquakes. And the canopy came down and filled the earth, so the highest mountain was covered, and only 8 people were saved, and the world was destroyed by fire. They came out of that. The weather was changed. The climate was changed. A lot of things were changed, just like after the day of the Lord. The earth is going to be changed, and we'll go into the golden era of the millennium. But it was changed after the flood. Now, the world was destroyed by water. The first time. But it's not going to be destroyed by water during the day of the Lord. Primarily by what? What kind of judgment? Yes, Diane?
Fire.
Fiery judgments. Seven trumpets and seven vials or shallow bowls of fire and fiery judgments will be poured out during the day of the Lord. It is a time of wrath where it's what we call the end of the world. Not the end of the earth. It'll be the cleansing of it, but it'll end the world system of Satan to prepare, like you said, Karen, for the millennial kingdom, which is 1,000 years. And it will happen at some time. So John was transported from about AD 96, where he was in prison on the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, just west of modern-day Turkey, southwest of that. And he was transported the day of the Lord. And let's move on now in our notes. You all have your notes there, I trust. Sarge, you got them out, right? Amen. Good man. Yes, Dolores? Oh, right now we're in Revelation chapter 1 through 3. Right now we're in 1, but we're going to be going ahead in our lesson today. But we're in 1 right now, and we're talking about the day of the Lord. Now in Revelation 1:19, that was 1:10, what we just talked about, the day of the Lord. The Lord's day, that's the day of the Lord. When it says the Lord's day, it's not Sunday. Then in Revelation 19, the Lord told John from the standpoint of the day of the Lord, where he was transported in time, he said, write of the things that which thou hast seen. And that the things which he had seen in his vision from the angel who was given it by Jesus, who gave it to John, that the things that he had seen were things in Revelation 1 that had to do primarily with what? And we've been studying the things that he saw concerning what? That's what I'm asking you. The things that John had seen, they're in Revelation 1 through 7, leading up to the day of the Lord, and it has to do with what, Cherry?
Are yet to come.
Oh, what's that?
Are yet to come.
What she said in here?
Are yet to come.
Are yet to come. Well, they are yet to come from the standpoint of John's day in AD 96. But remember, he was transported forward in time to before, after our time, to the day of the Lord. It's in future. So the things that he had to see were things from John's day up to the day of the Lord. And what primarily were involved with those things? Diane. The church age. The church age. Because during the day of the Lord, the church won't what? Be here. The church will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's called the rapture. A lot of people have the rapture way here at the beginning of the 70th week. But no, it'll be just before the day of the Lord during the second 3.5 years of the final 7 years. Don't miss that. Most churches around here aren't teaching that. You are fortunate to hear it.
Yep.
So keep it in mind. Why? Because you are to be alert. You are to be watching. You are not to be surprised. And whether I'm here or not here, I have determined to put this out there so that people will be ready for it. Okay? That's what I want. And it won't be a 9/11 attack, or it won't be a Pearl Harbor sneak attack upon them. Yes, Dolores?
Well, like I said, in California, where I come from, they weren't teaching this. So when I got here and you started teaching it, I was surprised because I have been praying about revelations.
Amen. Well, God's answered your prayer. He brought you to the right place. And I don't say that anything but humbly. He brought you to the right place. I know this is true.
Yeah, because I've read all 66 books like 13 times.
And we'll forgive you from coming from California, by the way.
I forgive myself.
All right. Amen. So anyway, that is what he's talking about. I'm just going at the introduction here. And so it's the church age. Diane had it right. And then we've been looking at each of the seven churches in John's day. And they are literal historical churches that existed in what is modern day Turkey. See it right here? And here is John. He was out here in the Aegean Sea. This is modern day Turkey. In the Roman Empire, what was this called? It wasn't called Turkey then. What was it called, Sarge?
It was the Byzantine Empire.
Well, but I'm going to get the province. Yes.
Asia Minor.
Asia Minor. That doesn't mean Asia. It's called Asia Minor. It was just a province of the Roman Empire, like Saskatchewan is a province of Canada, and Ottawa would be another province of Canada, and so forth. But God help Canada. Oh, man, we need to pray Trudeau gets removed. But anyway, these churches were here, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira. We're going to look at Sardis today, Philadelphia. Hope they win. Laodicea. Laodicea. And so this was a mail route, and mail would come in from the Aegean Sea, go to Ephesus, and then all around to these cities here. And each of these cities had local churches. Now, there are tons of local churches in all kinds of provinces of the Roman Empire. Why were these seven chosen from Asia Minor? And why was it that John, who ministered to these and who was right here, was concerned about these? What was God's purpose in that? Let's go with Cynthia.
They were symbolic of the churches of the particular eras.
Very good. Did you hear what she said? Remember, this is a prophecy. It is a prophecy, and that's what God is saying in Revelation 1, that here is a prophecy. So it's a prophecy, as Diane said, of the whole church age. And there are different eras or time periods within the church age, and each of these churches in order represent the church type of church that will be most predominant in that time period, and then it will be succeeded by another time period. Now, just because you go into another time period doesn't mean the previous type of church isn't still going into that. And all seven of these types of churches will go into what's called the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years before Christ's kingdom is set up. So what is the first church in the first time period that we looked at? Sarge?
The apostle
period and the apostolic period. And that was from Pentecost, right, when the church was baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And that was the beginning of not the church, because Christ formed the church, but the spiritual unity of the church and a permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's also when the power of the Holy Spirit was poured forth to witness. And so this church, the church at Ephesus, was that kind of a predominant church from Pentecost to about AD 100. And now after that, all the apostles were what? Dead. Who was the last apostle to die? Diane. Yeah, John. And yeah. So he was here writing this in AD 96. He was soon to die. He was probably in his 90s. And he was soon to die. And so John was writing this, and that was the apostolic period. Now we remember he commended that church because they could ward out false doctrine, false apostles. They were really good at that. They were faithful to go against Nicolaitism, which is ruling over the people by men that would be like false apostles, right? By the way, today that would be popes and bishops and church leaders who claim authority that they don't have. That would be what we call Nicolaitan. It means rule over. So they had that, but they had one thing that the Lord had against them. And what was that one thing? Yes, Diane?
They left their first love.
They left their first love for the Lord. And so they were persevering and faithful and all of this, but they didn't have any love in their heart for it and for the Lord. They lost their heart. And therefore, it was kind of a drudgery, but they stayed at it, you know. But it was more the dedicated energy of the flesh, not the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah, apostolic period. Yes, sir. And then it goes into the Smyrna church, which is in modern-day Izmir, Turkey. Has quite a population. I think it's about 150,000 or 250. I can't remember. It's a pretty big city.
I think it's 150,000.
150,000. And it's a big city, Izmir, Turkey. But this was Smyrna, And this goes from, let's say, 100 AD, 8100, to about what period of time, Sarge?
I think about 300 AD.
Correct, you're right, 300 AD. And what characterized this period of time that the Lord was prophesying of? He said, what, Diane?
Persecution,
10 days. And in the early church, it may have been the church in John's day. They literally went through 10 literal days of persecution. But he here applies it later on, the prophecy, to 10 periods of time. And so they were persecuted from the Emperor Nero, which kind of goes back a little bit into AD 64. But then in John's day, it was Domitian who was persecuting them and killing them. And it went all the way up to a guy named Diocletian around AD 300. So there were 10 Roman emperors who launched terrible persecutions against Christians and would do terrible things to them and kill them. And so these people, the Lord encouraged them. He said, don't worry about the first death. I went through that, and now I'm raised. You're going to have a body like that. So don't worry about it. You don't have to fear the second death, which is hell. Be thankful of that. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have a question. Now, I know B.C. means before Christ.
Yeah.
So A.D., does it mean after death?
Yeah, I used to think that same thing. I used to think A.D. was after death. It is a good way... It's a good way to think about it, but it really isn't. It stands for a Latin term called Anno Domini. Anno Domini. But after death is pretty good. But it's Anno Domini, and what it means, Anno Domini in Latin means in the year of our Lord.
I was told wrong. I told you.
So everything was changed when Christ was born.
Okay.
And it changed our calendar. So Anno Domini, right?
Okay.
Now you'll see BCE in the Jewish calendars because they don't want to recognize Christ changing everything. So that means before the common era. But really BC is the proper way, before Christ.
Yeah.
And then AD is Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. So, all right, you got the Smyrna church. Then after this period of time, there came a new Roman emperor in, Constantine, and he made Christianity the legal religion to stop persecution. Now, the devil was in that, too, because he realized persecution did not wipe out the church. It energized it, and it always does. No matter what you go through, God will give you grace.
Yes.
You got to understand that. It's God. And so it energized. So Satan said, I got to try something else. So Pergamos became another kind of church that represents the future period of AD 300 to AD about 600. And that is the, what does the word Pergamos mean? Does anybody know? Oh, a lot of people raising their hand. Sarge.
I think it was the compromising church.
It is the compromising, but just the word Pergamos means what? Anybody know that, Diane?
Married.
Marrying the world. Where the church married Rome, became the legal religion of the state. See, that's not good. It's good when the state recognizes Christianity, and even our Constitution was recognized as a Christian document. Do you know why? Because it was dated in the year of our Lord. The Constitution recognizes, though we have freedom of religion in America, we have a bias to Christianity. Because it was written in the year of our Lord, 1789, or whatever the date was there. Right? Yes, ma'am.
We learned, when I was in school,
yep.
We learned about religion.
Yep.
Now they've taken it out of the schools.
Yes.
It's just plain ridiculous to me.
That's right.
Because children, a lot of children want to know.
That's right. That's right. And so now it's gone totally the other way, and they're trying to get everything out and bringing in wicked paganism and even Satanism into our communities. And Pergamos was the beginning, though, of what we call the state church. And that actually brought in, as Sarge said, compromise, because it brought in a lot of stuff into Christianity, and you don't want that. So you don't want that to happen, but it did happen. And then the next period is the Thyatira church. It's the type of church that predominated the Thyatira. And that went from what period of time to what period? Anybody know? Cynthia.
600 to 1500.
Yeah, 600 to 1500s. And that's when more and more it started here, the Roman Catholic Church. The word Catholic means universal. Roman means it's the church of the Roman Empire, but it compromised because in order to make it the legal thing of the Roman Empire, they had to bring in all these false religions. Thank you. I remember this. They had to bring in all these false religions. So, Sarge, you want to hand these out? This tells you all of the stuff that came into the church, and I'm giving it to you. Remember I read some of these things? During the Pergamos and the Thyatiran period of time. And it became just full of compromise. And we talked about that period of time.
What's the time period on that one?
That was about AD 600 for Thyatira up till the early 1500s. And the Council of Trent got in there at about the 1400s. And that really messed things up because now they changed salvation to by works. By works salvation. And put it with faith. And you're not saved by works plus faith. It's by grace through faith plus nothing.
The Nicene Creed during that time period, right? The Nicene Creed? The Apostles' Creed?
Yeah, I've got... You get this paper? I got it all listed there.
Yeah.
Go through that whole thing. It will give you everything, Andy, when it came in and the dates of it, okay? All right, now... We go up to the 1500s, and something is going to happen. Something is about to give, right? And for this, I want you to turn to Revelation, because we're going to look at the church at Sardis. So go up all the way to Revelation now, and we're in chapter 3. Amen. So we did 1 and 2, now we're in chapter 3 of Revelation. Still in the church age, and we're going to look at the church at Sardis. And something happened in the 1500s to deal with this Roman universal church that had taken over and was full of compromise. And what was it, Cynthia?
Well, it was Martin Luther, Protestant Reformation.
Martin Luther, Protestant Reformation. We'll talk about that. It means protest. He protested. He put his theses on the Diet of Worms there. In Germany, Worms, W-U-R-M-S, it's the big diet there in the Catholic Church. He was a Catholic priest himself, and he saw the Council of Trent was wrong. He saw in Romans, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith, that you're not justified by works. You're justified by grace through faith. Now, here's the Roman Catholic Council of Trent view. It is what we call sacraments. Sacraments bestow grace. According to Catholic teaching. And the Pope, who was at one time just the pastor of one church, but now he became the head over all the churches, the Roman Catholic Universal Church. There is no universal church until the rapture, friends. It's only local churches. No universal church. You're full of soup if you believe that. And you're more Catholic than you realize. I'm a Baptist, amen? And Baptists have always believed what I'm teaching you. And we believe in the local church. You hear it harped here all the time. Don't be surprised. But anyway, this whole idea of this Roman universal church, the pastor of Rome became the pope over all the church. He had power over. I don't care how big a guy's church is. He's not telling our church what to do. Jesus Christ tells us what to do. And he has the angel of each church, each pastor that is the overseer of that church, the spiritual program. So anyway, this happened that Luther protested against it because the Pope would give grace to the cardinals and the bishops to the parish priest, and they would serve the sacraments. First one is infant baptism. And what does that do? When you dunk that baby underwater, used to be, but now they sprinkle them. When you sprinkle them with water, that makes them born again.
They wash away their sins,
original sin, and then they're born again. Now, not all their sins, because they got to keep you in their system.
I was raised in that.
You're raised in that. So you were born again. Now, how do you feed that new life? With the Eucharist. And how do you feed it? With the literal body of Jesus. You got to eat Jesus, even though that's cannibalism. And you got to drink blood, even though that's against the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you should drink blood. It's forbidden. But yeah, you're drinking blood now. You're eating Jesus, which is forbidden, and you're drinking blood. But that's feeding the new life. Come on. What kind of baloney is that? That's feeding the new life and making you a stronger Catholic.
They have the transubstantiation where they turn it into the blood.
Yeah.
And they have to do some kind of hocus pocus.
We've got
to
ring the bell, bing, or whatever, and it turns in. And it's got to be done by a priest, you know, who's blessed by the Pope. So it's all not only sacramentarianism, sacraments, but sacerdotalism, where these guys have power. And by the way, that's Nicolaitanism, power over the people. It's I was almost going to curse. I was going to say a kind of not curse, but it was a C, you know, word. Anyway.
Sometimes it makes you wrong, though. When I was coming up, I was in a group home, Sacramento, California.
Gotcha.
And we had to go to the Catholic Church.
Wow.
I was always scared when it came to doing the communion.
Yes.
Because they terrified me.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then I was out in the back of the church praying one day, me and my friends, and it started raining and the ground started raising up.
Ooh.
Oh my God, if I tell you that I screamed because there were bodies of babies.
Ooh.
Coming up.
Oh, gross.
And I... But so I was terrified of that Catholic church, so I refused to go. I got in trouble, but I refused to go.
Wow. See, a lot of stuff got in there. And by the way, this church, the Thyatiran type of church, and the Pergama, the early kind of Catholic church, maybe that would be represented by more Orthodox churches today, like Russian Orthodox, Polish National Catholic, and so forth. These kind of churches will be going into the end times, into the 70th week. They still are in existence. They're not predominant today, but they're still in existence. The Smyrna-type church, not in America so much, although in Canada it's starting to happen, and in third world countries, persecution. Pastors are being imprisoned in Canada for speaking against homosexuality.
Oh, yeah.
They're putting him in 5 years in jail now. That stinking Trudeau. Oh, boy. Anyway, that's the devil. And so now in Sardis, we're coming to Luther protesting this as a priest. He saw that salvation was not by sacraments because the Catholics believe, okay, you take these sacraments now, God gives you grace, and from that grace you get more grace, and you live better for doing this, you live better, and God's looking down watching you. At some point God said, okay, you're righteous enough now, I declare you righteous. Why are they declared righteous? Based on the imputed the infused grace of God through the sacraments. And through their own righteousness. You say, when does he declare them righteous? Nobody knows. So that's why Catholics don't know if they're saved. Because they don't know when, Andy. I bet you never knew as a Catholic. You didn't know. You didn't have the assurance. Now, unless somehow some Catholics get saved, apart from the garbage. Yeah, you keep getting more grace.
And hope you get the last rites.
And hope you get the last rites. And then you might just wind up in purgatory, which doesn't exist.
Nope.
And they got to pay money and get you out of there. It's a big system. So Luther protested, and this was a Sardis-type church, and we'll talk about that. And Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and these Protestant reformers were very courageous to stand up. But I want to have you read. Look with me at Revelation and chapter 3, and look what it says. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write. Now, who's the angel of any of these local churches? Cynthia. The pastor. Why? Because he gives the message. The word angel is angelos, alpha, gamma, gamma, epsilon, lambda, omicron, sigma. Angelos, and it means messenger. So what does a messenger do? He gives the message. And the message is the message of Jesus Christ to each individual church contained in the Revelation. So here he's got the message for the pastor of the church. Why? Because he's supposed to give it to the church. Now, if the Lord gives the pastor the message, he gives it to the church, right? Last I checked out, the Lord keeps giving me messages from his word right here. And I give it to you when I get it from him. So that's what he did. And he gave it to the church here. But here's what the Lord said. He said, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." So what does the Lord say? He has the seven spirits of God. What does the seven spirits of God stand for? By the way, it's a capital S. That's a hint. Diane? The Holy Spirit. The number seven is a number of completion. 7 days in a week. Seven dispensations to complete all of history and to bring the kingdom of God back to earth. Seven spirits is just the full ministry of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, all of his ministries. Yes?
The seven spirits are mentioned in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I can't remember right.
Yeah, it's in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah. Yeah, it is. It talks about spirit of wisdom and spirit of knowledge and so forth. So, yes, yeah, so there is the sevenfold work of the Holy Spirit there. And he's got the seven stars in his right hand. Who does? The Lord Jesus. What are the seven stars again? You've already said it, Diane. Pastors of the churches. All right. And so the Lord has the pastors in his hand. And they're to give his message. Well, what is the problem with this church? Thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. Now, what name did they have to live? The Protestant Reformation, Luther. What a great name. You've heard of him. John Calvin, you've heard of him. Ulrich Zwingli, lesser known, but you've heard. And some of these great reformers, you've heard of them, because they protested the Catholic stuff that we were just talking about, the garbage. And they have a name, and they live that name, but they are spiritually dead. And most of these Sardis-like churches today, which are Protestant churches, which came out of the Catholic Church. By the way, they did come out of the Catholic Church. True Baptists never came out of the Catholics because we were never in the Catholics. We were always churches individual, like I say, local churches, not tied up with the Roman universal garbage. Stay individual. Make the Bible. Stay with the Bible, right? Now, the Reformers, they did have something called sola scriptura. And they said, we're going back to the Bible. We're coming out of the Catholic. We're going back to the Bible. But the problem is, they didn't go all the way with that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's go to your notes here and just follow that, because I want to show you that in your notes. And that's weird. I thought I had written all these in here. Oh, I left this one out. So go with me to the first page, lesson 6, down at the bottom. And notice here in that the fifth is the church of Sardis. So put that in your first blank. The fifth is the church at Sardis. Now, as we're doing that, I'm going to give you something else. You're always looking up on the board for the 70th week, the last 7 years, and also all these different churches. I've got the chart on the front and the churches on the back with the dates. All right, so let's have Sarge, if you'll hand that out again. We're keeping him really busy. And you can have that, it will help you. All right, the handoff, boom, there it is. All right, so you can get that. Now, the church at Sardis is the one we're looking at. So real quick, which church is the church at Sardis? Raise your hand if you know which one in history was the church at Sardis a type of, it represented? Come on, you ought to have your hands up. Which church was the type of Sardis? I'm almost going to call on you, whether your hand's up or not. Dolores?
The Catholic?
No, it came out of the Catholic. Yes.
Protestant.
Church of the Protestant Reformation. All right, now look at your back page, Number one, Sardis type of church represents from 1517 to the early 1700s. About this time, there was a Renaissance as well, not just a Reformation. And the Renaissance allowed travel to the Middle East. They made a lot of discoveries. They had a lot of learning and began to have some intellect. Also, the printing press came into existence, so now you could read a lot of stuff. You know, what do we have today you could read? You could put books on your cell phone today, right? And read them. And in my car, my daughter helped me get a thing where it's Bluetooth, and you can literally have the Bible or books going through your radio while you're traveling. It's amazing. It's gone way a step further. But the Renaissance opened up learning. Because what did the priest want to do in the Thyatira and Pergamos era? They didn't want you to have a Bible. They didn't want you to read a Bible. Because they were afraid of the learning. What does this pastor do? I try to get the Bible out to you. Try to encourage you to read it. And understand it. And yeah, Brother Joe, he gets Bibles out. Upstairs, we want people to read the Bible. We just want them to get the right Bible. Amen. And we'll talk about that this morning.
You have the Logos word in a rhema. It comes alive to you.
That's right. That's exactly right. It does. And the individual person gets that.
One verse changed the world.
Yeah. Amen, brother. The just shall live by faith is one of them. But anyway, that is what we're talking about in Sardis. And yet this church had a problem. We're going to talk about that. So go up to number one, and it says, further, due to the discovery of the printing press, the Bible could be translated into one's own language and printed in mass. So that was there. Then it says, God sent a spiritual revival called the Protestant Reformation. That's under number one, second blank, Protestant Reformation. And that was a great revival led by these men that we've talked about. And that the churches look back to those men, the great leaders of the Protestant Reformation. By the way, I was raised in a Protestant church. I was raised in a Reformed church, Christian Reformed, not a Reformed school. I was raised in a Reformed church. And it was a Protestant church. It looked back to John Calvin. It looked back to the Belgic Confession. It looked back to the Canon of Dort. Canons of Dort. And they have some great stuff in there. Especially on the doctrine of what's called salvation. How to get saved. They have some great stuff. And they did believe in sola scriptura. But they came out of the Catholic Church. And we'll look at that. They came out of the Thyatira period. And so now the Reformation is underway. Now, look what it says in number two. It says the church in the ancient city of Sardis in John's day was not involved in things like emperor worship, like we've looked at, or Nicolaitanism per se, and compromise with the world in that day. But its main problem was that it was a tired city. Tired city. T-I-R-E-D. Take it laden with pagan ways of many centuries of immoral tradition. That was Sardis and the church there. Now, how does that relate to this Protestant church that we're talking about? Well, the Protestant church is tired. The Protestant church came out of the Catholic church, but it still has the grave clothes of the Catholic church on. One of the great grave clothes of the Catholic church that the Anabaptists, who are forefathers of the Baptists, fought against was what? Great grave clothes coming out of the Catholic Church that the Anabaptists fought against, and they were persecuted by these Roman Catholics, and even the Protestants were persecuting. That's why you get Fox's Book of Martyrs. You need to get Martyr's Mirrors. That book gives you the Anabaptists and what the Baptists went through, because the Protestants persecuted the Baptists and the Catholics persecuted the Catholics. So it's something. Yeah, Kath? Infant baptism. The Protestants kept up with infant baptism. Remember, the Catholics said that baptism gives the child new life, and then they have to take the Lord's supper, which they say is transubstantiation, to feed that life by turning the body, the wafer, into the literal body of Christ, and the wine, which is alcoholic in those churches, into the blood of Christ. And that's a lie. And so the Protestants came out, they still practiced infant baptism. Now, they didn't say that the baby is born again through baptism. The Protestants didn't say that. What the Protestants said was, the baby becomes part of the covenant community. Kind of like Israel. Israel, if you were born in Israel in the Old Testament, you were born into a covenant community where you had privileges, a lot of privileges. But they say, the Protestants say, baptism took the place of circumcision. So when the baby was circumcised on the eighth day as a Jew, we baptized babies. I was baptized, sprinkled, as a baby. And that was to make me part of the covenant community, and that supposedly took the place of circumcision. No, it does not take them. Israel and the church are not the same. It does not. And not only that, the Bible says believe and be baptized. Baptism is after you're saved. You want to become part and circumcised, you have to be baptized by the Spirit into Jesus. And then you died with him, you're buried, and the flesh is cut away, and that's like spiritual circumcision. So spiritual circumcision is done when you get saved. It's not done when you're sprinkled as a baby. This is what the Protestants taught. I was taught this. Okay? Yep.
You know, as a Catholic,
yep.
I didn't get saved there, but I did show the charismatic.
Yeah.
I teach you how to be born again, but then the theology is really goofy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the charismatics gave life to the Catholics.
Yeah.
Like, here you're dead. But then they had goofy teaching. And so the Catholics are getting this quote-unquote life, but they're not getting the right teaching. And so here we got Andy here in the Thyatira, and you got me in the Sardis. I was the dead Protestant. Although, you know, there were people that were saved in the Protestant churches. And I was one of them. I got saved while I was still in the Protestant church, but I got saved in the house of my grandmother, who was a Baptist secretary of a Baptist church. But anyway, let's go on here. Tired, number two. Number three, we got to really get done with this. But the Protestant church has failed to go all the way with these great truths. And I want to show you something real quick in Sardis. Notice what he says here in Sardis, verse 3. Look at verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3. Real quick, get there in your Bible. It says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. Remember they received from Martin Luther the rhema of the word of God? They received the just shall live by faith? And they said, we're going to go back to the scripture? He said, remember that's how you got started, but you need to repent and get back to the Word.